Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanz. This is episode 136, season 6. Today's date is June 4th, 2022. And thank you for joining me today. On today's program, I will talk about forgotten brands of clock radios. I'll talk about my memories of owning a clock radio. I still do. Also, I'll talk about Mark Grace of the Chicago Cubs. I have a story about him and my memories of seeing him, and just want to make a point. I'm not a sports fan, but this is very important, and I'd like to share with the with sports fans about this story, and you would like that. Okay, so the program will go into a commercial break, and this program is sponsored by Libby's Canned Vegetables, and when I play this commercial, you will recognize the jingle immediately. It is fetching, it is addictive, and you will not get this out of your head for hours. Trust me. And I apologize for that. So here we go.
When it says Libby's, Libby's, Libby's on the label, 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 nothing's better, better, better on your table, 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 because we think you'll agree it's hard to find a canned vegetable that's
younger, tender, rounder, sweeter,
redder, moister, brighter, crisper.
On the Libby's label is a note that says we challenge you to find a better can of vegetables. But we think you'll agree it's hard to find one that's
younger, tender, rounder, sweeter, redder, moister, brighter, crisper, young.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Libby's. I'll give you a little brief history on that company. It's founded in Chicago in 1869, long time ago. Founded by Arthur and Charles Libby. They were brothers, and also Archibald McNeil. So it was Libby, McNeil, Libby. That was the name of the company first. And they began canning meat products or corned beef. That's what they started from, not vegetables. And by 1880, it had about 1,500 employees in Chicago. That's amazing. And then in the 1930s, it grew to 9,000. I don't know where the plant or the headquarters was located. I didn't have time to research that. So, you know, if anyone wants a comment, please do. And then they expanded to other countries in the world, Germany, United Kingdom. And also in 1970, it was acquired by Nestle. And they started having frozen dinners marketed, just like Swanson's. They had a mascot called Liberty Kid. In 1977, they had Juicy Juice. I think it's still around. I don't think I ever had it, so it's probably good. And then it had been bought by other companies back and forth. And then I think it closed. I don't know when the company closed here. I'm not sure. And now the headquarters is in Geneva, Switzerland. And I think you can still find brands in the stores. I think you do. I haven't checked lately. But it was a very popular brand, when I grew up. And I remember Fruit Float. You remember that? That's an old-fashioned, that's a forgotten dessert. You know, I have a commercial somewhere, and I will talk about that in the future. So as when I played the jingle, like I said, you can't get it out of your head. It's very famous, very classic. Okay. At the beginning of the program, I said I was going to talk about Mark Grace of the Chicago Cubs and forgotten brands of clock radios. I will talk about that first. Now, everyone in their lifetime has owned at least one clock radio. And the most famous ones that people owned were Zenith. And I remember my first memory of that is that when my parents got married in 1962, on a whim, my dad bought a clock radio for my mom, and she didn't know about it, but I'm glad he did. He did the right thing, and it was brown, and it's like It had two knobs, and it wasn't digital. So, and it had like an old-fashioned clock and the radio, you know. So one side was a clock, and the other side of that was the radio stations displayed. And it was beautiful. And my parents owned that for a long time. And, you know, they threw it away because it didn't work. But, you know, I recently found one on eBay. And, well, not recently. I think a long time ago. Forgive me. And I wanted to buy it, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should have. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn up again. Maybe I'll buy it. And it was beautiful. And as when I grew up, I owned my own. Remember the flip ones where they showed the time? You know, it was before digital. It would just flip like that, you know, which is kind of cool. And other brands that I remember was West Clocks, excuse me, Emerson, Panasonic, and Sunbeam. You know, also department stores had their own brands like Sears, JCPenney. Then Sony came out, you know, from Japan. You know, they were imported, so we got that. And all the stores carry them, mostly appliance stores, like, for example, Polk Brothers, or in the 80s, Highland Electronics, Fretter. Now Best Buy, you know, Best Buy now sells them, I believe so. Or you can get them on Amazon if you'd like. I still own one, but it broke recently, you know, because I dropped it one time. But it still shows the time and all that. Today, people use their iPhones, you know, if they want to, they set the alarm to wake up. You know, that doesn't look very decorative in your bedroom to me. I don't use it. I can have a clock radio. You know, and you have your favorite radio stations to wake up. Also, right now you have the snooze button. That's kind of nice. And, but the number one brand of those was Zenith. You know, made in Chicago. And someone sent me an email and says, why don't you do a podcast episode about Zenith? And I said, yeah, I should. I haven't done one yet, but I will in the future. And I would dedicate the entire show about Zenith because it's such a... That company had a rich history, and there was so much to that has so much to cover. And I will do that, you know, in the future, maybe soon. You know, just keep your ears open. Right now, I'm going to play a commercial for Zenith Radio, from 1972. And then I'll, once that is done, I will come back and I'll discuss Mark Grace of the Chicago Cubs. So here is the commercial. Thank you.
Suddenly, there's a whole new way of looking at radio. Introducing the Zenith Trendsetters. Everything from a wallet-style radio that plays open or closed to a self-charging table radio that converts into a portable. Even a digital circle of sound clock radio that surrounds you with sound. See all the new Trendsetters from Zenith, where the quality goes in before the name goes on.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Zenith Radios. Like I said before, Zenith not also made radios, they also made televisions. And I did own one, a couple of them, my family has. And it's too bad the brand's gone. I think they're now made by LG, I believe. It's not the same. So, and their quality was outstanding, and it was wonderful. Everyone loved it. And you know, the TVs were built like a piece of furniture. You have them in your living room, it looked beautiful. Now you want to watch television, it's a little different. You know, they're flat, they're HD, they're 4K, they're nice, they're gorgeous, but you know, but it's not that decorative. Also, you can watch shows on your iPhone, your iPad, any electronic device now, which is nice. It's convenient. It's not the same. But, you know, watching television in your living room is more comfortable. You lie down on the couch. You sit down. You can eat, you know, any getting stuff from your refrigerator. But the cool thing is that when you watch a TV program or on your DVR or Netflix, you can pause it or go to the bathroom. Or if the phone rings or someone drops by unexpectedly, you could do that. So, you know, And I said, I will do a podcast episode about Zenith. I'm looking forward to that. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow or next week. So keep an eye on that and your ears open. Okay. Next up, I will talk about Mark Grace of the Chicago Cubs. Now, you're probably asking why I'm talking about him. And, you know, I have a story about him. He seems like a very nice fellow. And when I met him, he was very nice. And but I met him briefly. So there's a story about him. But first, I will talk about his biography and his career. Okay. So his full name is Mark Eugene Grace, born in June 28th, 1964. Oh, his birthday's coming up, so he'll be 58. And he was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And but he moved to Tustin, California, and he played baseball in high school and basketball. Then he enrolled in San Diego State University. And then that's when he was drafted by the Chicago Cubs in 1985. And he didn't play. He wasn't well known. He was just there. But then he made his debut on the with the Cubs on May 2nd, 1988. And that was a classic lineup. When he was on the team, there was Ryne Sandberg, there was Andre Dawson, Sean Dustin, and Sammy Sosa. And he was a good hitter, you know, and, let's see, batting average was, .303. He had hits. He had 2,445. That's a lot. Home runs, 173. Very impressive. And runs batted in, 1,146. So if you're a huge diehard baseball fan and you know, like, statistics and you know them on the top of your head, that's amazing. That's wonderful. You know, I'm glad I contributed that to explain. You know, just bear with me. Like I said before, I'm not a sports fan, but I find history of sports, baseball, basketball, very intriguing. And I like that. Because I did a podcast episode about Ron Santo a few months ago. That was interesting. When I read his biography and all that, I found it very fascinating. He was a nice man. He was wonderful. Okay, and then, so he was very popular in the 1990s and good player. Also, here's a story about when I met him. When I worked at my company, American Express Travel, we're affiliated with Budget Rent-A-Car, excuse me. And they had some free tickets. They came over and says, look, we're giving away free tickets or we're going to have a raffle. Okay. At the time, I wasn't interested. I was too busy. And so the one person wanted to go, but he had a family emergency and he couldn't make it. And so there was one ticket left. So he asked me, can you take my place? And I said, yeah, I could, but you know, I won't, I'm figuring maybe I won't enjoy the game, but you know, I didn't want to disappoint him, you know, because I work with him. He helps me. I help him. He was a good guy. And I don't like to do that to people. Okay. So I accepted. So I tell people, yeah, I'm coming along. And, you know, people say, well, you're not into sports. Oh, I don't care. Look, I'm doing this a favor for a friend, just okay, and a coworker. So I want to show, you know, that, you know, show, set an example, you know, for that. Okay, so there were about, how many people? Maybe 10. And we got into maybe a bus or a car. I don't remember really. This happened 97, 98, I believe, around that time. And yeah, so yeah, it was like a shuttle bus or something. I don't remember how we got there. And we arrived on Wrigley Field, at Wrigley Field, excuse me. And that was the first time I ever went there. The very first time. I have been to Comiskey Park in the 70s. And, you know, because they had Greek night. So there were a lot of Greeks, and I'm Greek, of course. And then we went there. That was fun. And that was a fun park then. Now it's, they tore it down. Now it's Guaranteed Rate Field. Before that, it was Cellular Field, but that's another story. I'll tell you about that. Anyway, back to Wrigley Field. So we went to the Stadium Club. I think it was called Stadium Club. Yeah. Went to a restaurant first time. Food was wonderful, but there were people there that didn't want to eat, or they're persnickety and rude. I won't go into that. Anyway, once we got done eating, we went to the bleachers and we sat down. And it was first time, and I had a good view of, the mound. And it was interesting. You know what? It was like a nice feeling because you're at a very famous landmark, a very famous place, and this is where the Cubs play. Okay, and it was my first time. And you know what's funny? I don't know if people notice this. Maybe they do. That when you're at the ball game, and if you're a fan, you watch the game. You observe closely. You watch, and then you watch the pitcher, you watch the batter. And if you are, you don't say anything. You just concentrate on the game. That's what a fan does. Not screaming or, talking to someone or jumping up and down or getting drunk, which I've seen that. I'll get to that in a second. And so I was watching the game. I don't know who these players are, because they don't announce who it is. You don't hear it. But when you watch television, you see the announcers say they mentioned their names and they show the names on the screen. Okay. So I found it fascinating. But I had a couple people next to me and, they did the dumbest thing. They drank before they got there. I know they disappeared, but they must have had like two or three beers and they come back and they're slurring this speech and one almost threw up and that was horrible. And, I told them, I'm watching the game. And they said, well, we didn't come here to watch the game. We came here to get drunk. What a dumb excuse. Yeah, that was silly. Anyway, now once the game was over, I did see Mark Grace play. I did see him. Then, when the game was over, then we were headed to, to the bus to go back to our office. Mark Grace was outside signing autographs. That was unusual. I don't know why he was doing that. He was signing the balls and he was greeting people. That was amazing. So I don't know why. From what I understand, some people tell me baseball players don't really go out outside the field or go like to meet, but he did for some strange reason. I don't know why. I don't know what that was about. And someone said, why don't we go meet him? And I said, okay. So we did, and there he was. And I shook his hand and I told him, I didn't tell him I'm not a fan. I don't want to put him in the spot and do that. I just lied, but I told him who I was. And I said, you're a very good player. He said, thank you. Thank you for coming. He was very gracious, very. And he asked who my name was. And I told him, Pete Costanza. And he says, oh, you're Greek. And I said, yes. And I said, oh, I love Greek food. it's my favorite. It is one of my favorites. And that took me off. That took me off guard, I asked him, what's your favorite meal? He likes, and he says, souvlaki. I said, chicken or beef? Beef. Excuse me. So that was funny. And, that was nice, And I guess I never knew. I don't think a lot of people didn't know. And if I ever run into him, I don't know if I will. I don't think he'd remember me. I doubt it. Because he's met many people in his life. So, but I did. I remember this conversation with him. And it was beautiful. Beautiful indeed, and so that was my first time at Wrigley Field for the Cubs. I never went again, I never was invited. My brother's been there many times, and the Sox, but he's a Sox fan, I don't know. Diehard fans, it's like when you talk to them, they don't listen. That's not every sport. That's fine. And when they won the World Series, I'm happy for them. But, I don't get at the that. It's nice, but it's very historical. All right. Now, getting back to Mark Graves, he played for the Cubs from 1988 to 2000. And then he signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks with a $6 million two-year contract. And I won't go into that. So, and he was still a Cubs, but he got a better offer and he played for 2 years. Okay. And his number was number 17, his baseball uniform. And he wore jersey number 28 when he played for the Chicago Cubs. And after that, he played for 2 years, and then he retired in 2003. And he stayed Arizona, probably, and did some coaching, and then he went to broadcasting, and he did that for Fox Saturday Baseball for a couple of years. And then off and on he did that, and then I don't know what he does now. I think he's on the Marquee Sports Network, I believe he is. You know, he's an analyst, so that's good. Here's some trivia that I never saw this when I met him or saw him play. He smoked a lot even before the games, you know, but now it's like that's frowned upon, you know, not like the old days when you chewed tobacco and you spit it out. It's in the old days. And that's what he did. I'm sure he quit, but by now, who knows? So but he was a good friend. He was a good guy, you know, very supportive, you know. And the fight, you know, what somebody mentioned when Ray Liotta died, the actor died last week. Someone mentioned that his wife married him in 1997 after meeting a Cubs game, of course. So I won't go into that. You know, that's too personal and it's scandalous. And, you know, this is not about how this is kind of inappropriate. It's inappropriate. Anyway, so then he remarried. Then he's divorced again. And so I hope he's doing okay. You know, and I love this memory of him when I met him. You know, I met a baseball player in person for the first time. Also went to Wrigley Field for the first time. So that's great. And that's my baseball story. like I said before, I love talking about the history of baseball. It's very fascinating. You know, I think I did a podcast about Ernie Banks. I didn't go much in detail about him, but maybe I'll do another one because he was wonderful. He really was because he was Mr. Cub. Still is. Okay. So that'll be all for today. I talked about forgotten brands of clock radios, my memories of that. Also, Mark Grace of the Chicago Cubs. I want to make two announcements before I sign off. One, tomorrow is National Cancer Survivor Day, and that's celebrated on June 5th, 2022. I'm a cancer survivor. I have been for 8 months. I will celebrate that. I will post it on social media. So it's a wonderful day. And if you're a cancer survivor, please post and say you're how many years cancer-free. That'd be awesome. I know a couple of people that I went to school with and people I go to church and they tell me about this and it's awesome. Also, the second announcement is I have a new podcast. This podcast is called TV Oblivion. Excuse me. And this is separate what I do, and this is very personal to me. I will not go into detail now, but I will when this new podcast debuted today. And it's about TV shows that are obscure, forgotten, and rarely syndicated. Also, I'll talk about shows that ran more than 2 years. They were very popular then, but they disappeared. They're not in the airways. When I posted this yesterday, somebody asked, are you going to talk about like classic TV shows like I Love Lucy, Leave It to Beaver, Star Trek. I will touch on those a little bit. Yeah, because they're still classic TV. They're not obscure. They're still around, but they're not widely watched like I watched them when I was a kid, because the younger generation don't watch anything black and white or even before 1980. They don't want that. So that's out. So I will debut this program later on today. It'll be called TV Oblivion. It should be a lot of fun. And this is very personal to me. And I will talk about why I'm doing this, and you will understand. Okay. So this is Pete Costanis, host of Vanish Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope everyone have a good day. I'll probably do another episode tomorrow. I haven't decided what I'm going to talk about, get the wheels turning. And believe me, you won't be disappointed. It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you again. And here's Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye-bye for now. And here's bye-bye now for me. So long, everyone. Take care.
We have to go. Bye, bye, bye.